Political historian Professor Yahazi Suwata says the NPP's refusal to learn from their past mistakes will hurt the party in the event that independent candidate Kwabena Owusu-Edeyomi emerges winner in the Ejisu by-election. Six candidates are this afternoon vying to represent the people of Ejisu constituency of the Ashanti region to replace the deceased MP John Kuma. The seat is traditionally NPP, with the governing party's candidate Kwabena Boateng tipped to win, but he's facing stiff competition from a former party member who resigned to contest as an independent candidate. The opposition NDC did not file a candidate. The Liberal Party of Ghana, Convention People's Party, and two other independent candidates are all in the race to parliament. My colleague Nanaya Ojima observed their final campaigns and now reports.
Big wigs of the NPP, including President Akufo-Addo and his vice, Dr. Bawumia, were present in the final rally of the party ahead of the by-election. The president mounted the campaign platform with some jabs for the former MP who is attempting a comeback as an independent candidate.
So Abawabe to cabinet minister, Abawabe MP.
You unseated a cabinet minister at Ejisu and found nothing wrong with that. But today, you are everywhere talking. Late Sunday night, the independent candidate was on the grounds to wrap up his campaign. Kwabena Owusu-Edeyomi severed ties with the NPP after a declaration to run as an independent candidate in the upcoming by-election. Mr. Edeyomi claims the NPP lacks leadership, dismissing allegations of being a traitor.
I don't want to say anything bad against the president. He is the president of Ghana. I'm not a traitor. When I lost the primaries, did I go independent? I did not. I took it in faith. But when there is an issue that is contrary to the guidelines and regulations of the NPP party, and people raise concerns, if they are good leaders, they should have solved it. If they are saying that I'm a traitor, even while I'm outside, the projects that I and Kofi Job we are doing, they all favor NPP. Adem is not a traitor. They should learn to be good leaders and solve problems that are in the party so that the party can stand up. I'm telling you, MPP has no spirit in Ejisu constituency and even in Ashanti region.
In response to the tag of being pushed by the NDC, Mr. Owusu-Edeyomi wants the president to show evidence for the reason. He explains his candidature appeals to NDC supporters in the constituency due to his track record.
If an NDC man, if the president is saying NDC man, he has to prove I am not an NDC man, because NDC people, they like me. All the works that I did, they are all benefiting. Why have they seen me wearing NDC colors? It's because I said I'm going independent. That's why. The people here who are NDC, they want to vote for Adeyemi because Adeyemi did projects that benefited them. Now, let me answer what he said I did it for them. Yes. Even when NDC was in power, I worked for my people. There are some four roads that I requested for from NDC government that was giving me. Four major roads. I did it in NDC time. So all the projects that I did, I loved it and I had it. Having said that, I used my own pocket money. But who is government? Government is all of us. The roads were not done by the president's pocket money. It wasn't by the vice president's pocket money. It wasn't by any of them pocket money. It is the revenue, it is the sources, it's the funds of the state that were used to do it. What is important is that if you are an MP, you lobby for projects for your people.
Earlier, some supporters of Kwabena Owusu-Edeyomi hit the streets of Ejisu to campaign. Six candidates are going into the race slated for Tuesday. but the NPP's Kwabena Boateng and independent candidates, Kwabena Osu Edumi, are in lead to represent the Ejoso constituency in parliament. For Joy News, Nanaya Ojima, Ejoso.
Well, political historian and dean of the Faculty of Applied Sciences and Mathematics Education at the Apiamenka University, Professor Yahazi Su-Arthur, says the NPP must always take a position that will help it win independent candidates, especially those that defect from their party on their side.
The truth of the matter is that Kwabena Osu Edumi wins the election, then it tells you that the NPP has a lot of work to do in the next 7 months before the general election. And remember, it looks like NPP as a political party, sometimes they don't learn. You remember during the formation last campaign that Nana Danko Akufo-Addo had before the election, Nana Danko Akufo-Addo stated that he cannot work with an independent candidate. Unfortunately for them, as a political party, the independent candidate became the stone that the NPP rejected, and he became the cornerstone of the NPP now that gained them the majority. So I thought that the NPP as a political party would have learned from the misfortune of their candidate at Formina that merely if the independent has straight come to the NDC, then the NDC would have had the majority in parliament. So when Kwabena Osu Edumi, as an independent candidate, a party person, that through some misunderstanding decided to go independent, I think they should have taken it kindly with him, because he could win the election as well, just as Formina independent candidate won the election. And unfortunately, as we speak, the Formina candidate is the MP, is now saving the NPP. So if the NPP loses this Ejoso by-election, I can tell you that it is an indication NPP will lose terribly in the Ashanti region or in Ghana as far as this 2024 election upcoming is concerned.
Meanwhile, the Global Info Analytics has been predicting a lead for the NPP. Listen to its executive director, Musa Dankwa.
Picks intelligence from the ground that is going to be very close. Our poll doesn't suggest a winner. It suggests a leader.
Okay.
Because the margin that Kwabena Boateng has over Edumi is 3.1%, and the margin of error for the poll is 3.4%, which means that anybody can win this election. Now, if you look at why Edumi is doing very well, it's because of ground coalition that backs him at the moment in Ejoso. You see he's getting nearly two-thirds of floating voters.
Yeah.
He's getting over 92% of NDC supporters. He's getting 95% of smaller parties, and he's getting close to 60% of people who did not disclose their party affiliation to us. And he's getting 36% of MPP support. So that is the reason why he's looking very competitive. Now, indeed, according to our model, if he's able to attract 40% of MPP support tomorrow, he could win.
Let's cross over to Ejoso now and get some updates. Nana Ohimin Teria has been telling us more from that constituency.
Generally, the election has been peaceful. There hasn't been
any incident recorded as far as this by-election is concerned. In terms of security, I will say each polling station has at least six police officers manning the polling stations. And then beyond these six officers, the police administration has also put together a rapid deployment team for each of the 28 electoral areas within the Ejoso constituency. Here is at the Fumesua Pentecost polling center. And I will say that it is one of the few places that I came to meet electors in queue waiting for their turn to cast their ballot. A while ago, I engaged the Director of Elections for Electoral Commission, Dr. Sribo Kweku, who said they expect at least not less than 50% of the electors casting their ballot. So for voter turnout, they expect over 50% here in Ejoso. But here, I would say that it's one of the few places that you see people in queue casting their ballot. Let me try and speak to some of these electors who have just finished casting their ballot. Mami, me mo achin. Now, what to say? No, me da sisa wa jepeni sa oni ekasa. We enjoy News TV. Now, Patrick, what do you say?
Well, 65
years. Now, at DNT, na say she unkran is about be two about a nano pay.
Enye bibia ye ma ye pese ye ma ewiewie school ye pese omunye adwuma ye enu ntina ye beto abase de be ye ma bi nya adwuma ye.
So this is a 65-year-old woman. She says she's motivated by the fact that she wants the unemployed teeming youth in this community to get employed.
Well, the New Patriotic Party's parliamentary candidate for the Ejoso by-election, Kwabena Boateng, has cautioned voters to reject the independent candidate and former MP for Ejoso, Kwabena Edioma, in the ongoing by-elections. According to him, his party has shown commitment over the years to develop the constituency and must be rewarded with victory in the by-election. He's been speaking to Nana Boateng Adam.
Well, you're not coming to inspect the polls. Where have you been so far, and how has it been?
I've been around. It looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. People have voted. We are still expecting the rest to do that. As I walk around, I also try to ask people if they have voted. If they haven't, I give them the advice to exercise that mandate because it's necessary. It's a constitutional obligation. So it shouldn't be taken for granted. But the people will vote. Yes. I'm sure some are traveling from elsewhere. So by noon, late noon, I'm sure a lot of them would have casted their votes.
But you bear with me that the numbers are not encouraging at the moment.
I haven't been to all places. For some places, yes, I'm told the turnout not so good. But for other places, it's fine, looking at the time now. And then typically of by-elections, we do not expect as much people as general elections. That is what at least experience has taught us.
But then looking at the people who have come out to vote so far, does it look positive for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
People are saying that the more people do not feel like coming out, it goes against your party and you yourself.
Well, I cannot tell the indices that goes into that or maybe how that calculation is done. But what I can say is that I've been on the streets. I see the smiles on the faces of people. Those who have not voted, they are eager to do that. And the rest will also vote, typical of Ghanaians. Sometimes we like to put one or two things in place in the house before we go to cast our ballot. But at the end of the day, they will vote. And then they will vote in my favor.
What makes you so sure that you're going to win this election against Kwabena Osei Aduonum, former member of parliament for the area?
Conspicuous. It's trite. You know? The people know what the NPP government has been able to do. Even in hard times. What we've been able to discharge. I don't know if you've gone down this road from Ejoso Sektek here all the way to Kontase. Kofi Job is doing, you know, marvelous work. I don't know if you've gone the Abankru road and a host of, I don't know if you've gone to Bunyue and the town roads, and, you know, we are working.
I've been to all these places, especially today, doing my monitoring, but people are saying that you're doing all this work because it is the by-election and you're scared of your candidate, your opponent, I mean.
It started long ago. If you see what Kofi Job has done, it couldn't have been done in less than 1 month. So if you go there, I'm sure with, you know, some basic explanation from the people there, in fact, from prima facie, you know, you would know that this is not something that could have been done less than a month. The president has few months to go, and he is minded to spread development across, including roads. So even in these hard times, we are constructing roads, and Ejoso is one of the beneficiaries. And that is the more reason why Ejoso should take an MPP candidate to parliament. The Ashantis will tell you, anybody the Enopapati Ase.
Now, Jima is on the ground for us. He joins us via Zoom with more. Now, Jima, what's the latest at the polling station where you are?
And this is one of the strongholds of Kwabena Osei Aduonum. It is actually his hometown, and it's just as expected. A lot of the people within this area are for his candidature. Now, not long ago, the people here almost doubled up. If my cameraman would pan, you can see that there are still some people who are still here and they wouldn't want to go home because, according to them, they've heard that the NPP is going around buying votes. So this is the allegation that is within the area. And the information that, according to them, they have is that it's likely that these men will come here, the stronghold of Kwabena Osei Aduonum, to perpetrate that illegality. So it is one of the things that they are trying to avoid. That is why you see their numbers here at the polling station. And this is replicated in other polling stations.
Nanaya Ojima is on Zoom. We lost him there, but he's trying to paint a picture that there seem to be some allegations of vote buying. And he says that if Kerr is not taking, there could be some confusion coming from the camp of Kwabena Aduonum. All right, so he's back. Nanaya Ojima.
Exactly. So as I was saying, wherever you see some people, non-MPP people, gathering, these men who are in support of Kwabena Osei Aduonum's candidature will go there, neutralize the numbers, and according to them, ensure that the New Patriotic Party will not perpetrate such illegality.
So definitely where to stay for all that you need to know from Ejoso is on your election headquarters. At 2 p.m., we'll bring you election brief. We'll bring you more updates from the Ejoso by-elections. Let's get on to other stories, because Professor of Political Science at the University of Ghana, Ransford Jampo, says the government must eat its humble pie and ask for support to save the free SHS program. Speaking at an event to award scholarships to more than 30 students by Relief and Aid International, a former ambassador, Dr. Nyaonyao Tamaklo, also waded into the controversy on the award of scholarships, insisting there's a lack of integrity if rich people are getting scholarships meant for the needy. There's more in this report.
Relief and Aid International is headed by philanthropist Peggy Na Aikaili Ademofio and has been awarding scholarships to needy but brilliant students for almost half a decade now. Over the weekend, the organization Relief and Aid supported more than a dozen students. Speaking at this event, Professor Ransford Jampo warned that if government did not seek support for the free senior high school program, quality education could be compromised.
And I think that government must be humble enough in identifying people like Madam Adam Afiu and encouraging them to offer assistance to brilliant but needy students, so that the burdens of government will be lightened. Government is trying to provide free education to everybody, free SHS to everybody. But it knows it hasn't got the resources to do it. But because we have promised that we'll do it at all costs. Whether we can't do it or we can do it, we'll still do it. That does not promote quality education.
Meanwhile, Dr. Nyahonyaho Tamaklo waded into the scholarship scandal, decrying the lack of integrity in society when scholarships meant for the needy are taken over by the rich.
Normally, scholarships are meant for the needy. I went to university with scholarship. I went to secondary school with scholarship. I schooled with scholarship. But now, scholarships meant for the needy are given to those who have rather gotten. It tells you integrity is at its lowest level in Ghana at the moment. Now, if we have a lady of a build and stature who is doing such a tremendous work, all we have to do is to thank her.
For her part, the benefactor of these students, Madam Peggy Nai Kaili Adamafio, promised to support the students. She has granted scholarships up to the doctoral level.
Being the president of Relief and Aid Foundation, I feel like this is a time we need to support the needed. And I took it upon myself to help out the needy, our orphans, the aged. So I've been doing this for some time now. And it got to a point that we started with 3 students. And as of today, we have about 31 students. And I'm here. I feel happy about it. And I pray that you all will support me in your prayers, so that as long as I'm vertical and I'm alive, I promise to take care of them up to their master's, to their doctoral or PhD level.
These scholarships are expected to go a long way to assist many of these students who come from very challenged backgrounds to have a very fair shot at education, just like their colleagues who come from very well-to-do families.
The National Petroleum Authority has assured users of liquefied petroleum gas in the Upper East region that the new cylinder recirculation model will not be a disadvantage of the ordinary Ghanaian. At a forum in Bogatanga to educate the public about the cylinder recirculation model, the head for gas in charge of commercial regulation at the NPA, Obed Boache, said the needs of various classes of customers have been catered for under the model, and there should be no challenges when the program is rolled out in the region.
The National Petroleum Authority, NPA, organized the forum here in Bolgatanga in the Upper East region to educate the public on the cylinder recirculation model, which began in Accra last September. Under the cylinder recirculation model, consumers of liquefied petroleum gas, LPG, will not need to have gas cylinders to purchase LPG for their homes or businesses. The MPA will set up what it calls bottling plants, where various sizes of cylinders will be filled with LPG so customers can always pay and pick up the cylinder of gas they need and return it to the plant when they need a refill. But first, they will need to register using their national identification cards. The cylinder recirculation model aims to ensure that at least 50% of Ghanaians have access to safe, clean and environmentally friendly LPG by the year 2030. It will also help mitigate the risks associated with the use of the inflammable commodity, which sometimes results in fire accidents. Bashiru Natogma is the Upper East Regional Manager of the MPA.
The exercise is a nationwide exercise. Upper East is also part of the exercise, and so far we have started the process. A lot of oil marketing companies and LPG companies have started putting application for exchange points. And exchange points is not limited to only group of people. Any individual can apply through an oil marketing company or LPG marketing company.
The cylinder recirculation model is yet to be rolled out in the Upper East region. Some users of LPG in the region who were at the stakeholders forum expressed concerns that the program could be to the disadvantage of the ordinary Ghanaian, as they may not be able to purchase the small quantities of LPG they can afford. But the head for gas in charge of commercial regulation at the MPA, Obed Boache, said this was a general concern from customers that has been catered for in the planning process, and therefore the public should rest assured that everyone's needs will be met.
The reason why you take 14.5 kg and buy half is that 14.5 kg is the only size you have. So that is what you use to buy the quantity you want. Under the CRM, we have different sizes of cylinders and even different brands, okay? And so the most common cylinders you find on our market, the sizes, are the 6 kg ones and then the 14.5 or 15 kg ones. But we are going to introduce the 3 kg, which is a bit smaller and also, I mean, a bit less in cost. And then with the CRM, you will not be tied to a cylinder. Remember now, the bottling plant owns the cylinder. So they bring the cylinder. What you have to do is you go, you pay for the gas, you take the cylinder, you go and use the gas. When it's done, you bring it, you pay for gas, and you pick another one. Now, let's say when we started, you went in, you registered, and you took a 14.5 kg. But this month, you feel your pocket is not strong enough. So you want to buy 6 kg or 3 kg. You are not tied to that 14.5 kg anymore. So far as we retain the 14.5 kg, you can tell your dealer, today I want to buy 3 kg, and he'll give you a 3 kg cylinder. In Accra, in other places, in Doma, in other places, they started placing some of the cages. And I'm sure you begin to see some soon here in Upper East region as well. When you see these cages, as consumers, we encourage you to take your old cylinders to these cages or these locations and then get registered and exchange them for a branded cylinder.
President Akufo-Addo is urging naval chiefs and other top maritime security experts to work together and share intelligence that will help clamp down on terrorism, piracy, kidnapping and other threats. Speaking at the African Maritime Forces Summit and Naval Infantry Leaders Symposium at the Kempinski Hotel here in Accra, he said through collaborations, threats such as piracy and armed robbery at sea have been sufficiently suppressed.
Today, piracy and armed robbery at sea, which are the most visible symptoms of insecurity in the Gulf of Guinea, have as a result of the coordination of efforts of the Nigerian, Ghanaian, and other navies been appreciably suppressed, but still remain important threats to national and regional maritime activities. Aside these major threats, there are increasing numbers of other incidents occurring in the territorial and international waters across the entire African continent. Illegal oil bunkering, kidnapping at sea for ransom, illegal fishing, terrorism, and drug trafficking are common threats across our territorial waters. These transnational crimes do not only threaten national and regional peace and security, but they also come at a great cost to the economies of both coastal and non-coastal states. In the face of these challenges, it is imperative that we foster greater cooperation and collaboration amongst African maritime forces. By working together, sharing intelligence, and coordinating our efforts, we can address effectively maritime security threats.
on our filth exhibition today in the Jamestown community, the nets of fishermen are catching plastic waste instead of fish, a distressing situation in the once thriving fishing community. Years of plastic deposit from various collective points has turned the sea into a dumping ground, depleting marine life and devastating the livelihoods of fishermen. Mamie Sinyamiche Thompson has more in today's filth exhibition.
When we go fishing, we hardly get fish, only rubber.
Ni Ajiman, a seasoned fisherman, stands on the Jamestown shore and happy as he examines his miserable catch. His nets, again, filled with plastic waste.
I think it is the use of rubber that has destroyed our environment. It isn't good for us.
Jamestown, once a thriving fishing community, is now a landing site of plastic filth and waste clothes. The 55-year-old has fished here for more than 17 years. He fears the state of the sea is not only threatening their livelihood, but depleting the sea of livestock.
The plastics are destroying the livestock in the sea. We're not getting fish. We try hard to get it, but it is increasingly becoming difficult.
Speaking in despair, Ajiman is sad the waste has destroyed the seafront and the coastline as well.
Our nets are no longer catching fish. It is worrying
us.
Fishmongers are equally worried about the situation. The development is destroying their trade. Dede comes to the shore in hopes of getting her pan filled with fish. But after hours of anticipation, she is disappointed.
The beach is unclean. The sea is filled with debris from other areas, especially the Kole Lagoon, and the sea carries it here.
With a live on Joy News today, let's take a break. We'll be back with more.
Welcome. Let's do some business stories with me, Emma Davis. Farmers in the Mansia West and South districts, whose farmlands were adversely impacted by Asanko gold mine, are assessing support to bolster their productivity. Reduced farm sizes, limited access to agricultural supplies, and financial limitations caused low output of the farmers. There's more in this report.
In Ghana, agriculture accounts for approximately 21% of the gross domestic products. Residents of the Amanse West and South districts are mainly farmers, predominantly into cocoa production, which is a major contributor to Ghana's economy. The inception of the Asanko gold mine operations within their districts extended vast catchments, compelling farmers to legally lease their farmlands. Despite the promising opportunities in the agriculture sector, farmers encounter numerous challenges in accessing funds and quality farm inputs to improve their farm activities.
And then school so until almost say as lady and refuse it, and so you come back.
Asanko Gold Mine has launched the Asanko Agro Inputs Support Scheme to assist cocoa farmers in its catchment communities. The support comes in form of supply of inputs including pruners, motorized sprayers, Wellington boots and cutlasses. The manager for the environment and sustainability of Asanko Gold Mine, Dr. Daniel Osei Chumasi, spoke on behalf of the general manager Ahmed Muhadini Yahaya. He indicated the intervention forms part of Asanko's opportunity cycle, a CSR framework that direct to community investment initiatives.
One of the main priorities is to elevate the living standards of individuals in our catchment communities. By providing these resources, we aim to address some of the key challenges faced by our farmers, including access to quality tools, affordability, and the need for modernization. We believe that investing in agriculture is not only an investment in the prosperity of our communities, but also a step towards achieving food security and economic empowerment for the country as a whole.
District Chief Executive for Amantia South District, Oscar Asari, admonished farmers not to trade the modernized farming equipment.
Some experts have emphasized the importance of humans leveraging their distinct attributes such as intuition, reasoning, and memory to maintain relevance in the evolving landscape of artificial intelligence. They argue that by enhancing these skills, individuals can unlock their full potential and thrive in a world where both humans and machines coexist. There's more in this report by Mahmoud Nuruddin.
At the 11th Digital Rise and Inclusion Forum in Accra, a fireside dialogue hosted by the Public and Private Development Center, PPDC, facilitated discussions among speakers from Ghana, Nigeria, South Africa, and Kenya. While there are concerns regarding AI potentially replacing human labor, speakers at the forum agree that it presents an opportunity for humans to focus on higher level thinking, reasoning, and professional pursuits.
The same applies to AI. It's a tool. If we build it right, it will serve us a good purpose. If we build it wrongly, it serves a bad purpose. So I don't think that issue with responsibility with AI to do with the technology itself.
President of IoT Network Hub Africa, Joshua Bukwajimai, emphasizes the importance of humans tapping into their imagination, intuitions, and reasoning abilities which machines lack to maintain a competitive edge over AI tools.
I think this feature we are looking at is created by human, and it was created through our imagination. And I think the more we can be human, the more we have a role to play in the future. What I mean by being human is that there are some qualities of us. We have imagination. Machines don't have that, and they'll never have imagination. So it's a tool we have to start exercising it. We have intuition. Machines will never have intuition, no matter how intelligent they get. These are innate of what makes it human. We have reasoning. They might be able to crunch numbers and data. It doesn't mean they are thinking. So they will not be able to reason because they don't have that ability in them yet. We have memory capacity to collect data with our senses, our eyes, our ears. If we can develop this innate ability of ours, we're always going to be better than machine.
Joshua Federacy.
Fargo, the new virtual assistant from Wells Fargo, makes banking faster and easier. Like this.
Fargo, what's my checking account routing number?
And this.
Fargo, turn off my debit card.
And this.
Fargo, what did I spend on groceries last month?
And that's just the beginning. Do you Fargo? You can. In the Wells Fargo mobile app. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/getFargo.
Terms and conditions apply. Your mobile carrier's availability and message and data rates may apply. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
that humans possess the capacity to envision and construct a better world, a capability that enables them to create AI tools and ensures their enduring relevance in the world.
We also have perception. The way we change or we see things, our perception needs to be developed, and finally we have our willpower. If we realize machines are going to take over us, we have the power to imagine a better world and build it, because that's what...
So for business, I am Emma Davis. For more business news, do log on to myjoyonline.com.